gathered here because one of the giants of Klal Yisrael passed away this morning. Hagaon Rav Avadia Yosef. This is not Divrei Hesped. It's simply, I don't know how many of you even know who he was, have any sense of it. It's not possible to be maspid or to have any type of reaction unless we have some understanding of who he was, something of the hekif of the person, so that at least we can identify with what Klal Yisrael lost. I sketch out some simple things, and just to give us a sense of his godless and some of his huge accomplishments. He was born in 1920 in Baghdad. Baghdad was once upon a time one of the great Torah centers of Klal Yisrael. We are by and large Ashkenazim, so we haven't heard of it as a Torah center. One of the giants of the Sephardi world, the Ben Ish Chai, lived at the end of the other century, the turn of century. It was an ear vein by Israel for generations in terms of Talmud Torah, Lein Beit Torah, and so on. He came to Israel at a very young age. At four, his parents moved, and they lived near the Meir Yeshiva, Beis Israel. They were quite in Baghdad. The family was established. In Eretz Yisrael, they were very, very poor, dirt poor. He went to Cheder, and the first thing we have written from him is on the cover, on the inside of a Sefer Reishis Chochma. They got a prize in Cheder. He got it as a prize, it's written in the Sefer, for learning Shnei Mochsin, Elo Metzias, Hamafkid, Hazov, the Gemara Baal Peh, and Shabbos, Psochim, Sukkah, a few other Mesechtes, Mishnayos Baal Peh, at the age of 9. And he adds, and I have added some Ha'oris on the Sefer Reishis Chochma to my limited understanding. That was at the age of 9. They were so poor that his parents needed him to help in the grocery store, which he did, and some two or three very special rabbanim, they were head of the cheder, went to the parents and begged that he let him stay there and learn. I just as a side remark, you can imagine the chelik of the people who made that ishtadlus to get him to learn. He then went on after Bar Mitzvah to Parat Yosef, which was the Sephardi Institute. His Rabbi Muvak was somebody called Rabbi Azariah Ataya, who was one of the giants of that generation. He was one of the big Mekubal of that generation. I think if we can look at a Rabbi Muvak, that probably was the demus of his Rav. At the age of 13, he put out his first chibur. At the age of 20, he had smicha for Dionysus. He had tremendous kishronos, and if we can put a finger on of all of his abilities, his memory was simply something indescribable. If any of you have any interest to see something, his tshuva sfarim are here. You can take a look at the Biomer, and at random, open up a tshuva and get a sense of how many different tshuva sfarim he quotes in any one, in any tshuva. It's something which, even using today's computers, I doubt we would get to that amount of sfarim. And it's a question of not only using a computer can only identify words, but to be able, I recently went through a tshuva, I was going through a tshuva on Ipsik Reisha, and with Zodarais, Rabbanan, and it's just not believable. It's daf after daf, long, huge dafim, with all the shittas, tons, dozens and dozens and dozens, possibly hundreds of different shittas that he sorted out and he had at his fingertips. He didn't need to look for them. Now, part of it is HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him a memory that is incredible, but you also had to sit and learn it all. Nothing, no matter how good of a memory you have, nothing ever comes into your head unless you actually learn it. There was no Malach that came and shoveled it into his mind. He sat with tremendous asmada. And in his early years, there was tremendous poverty in his house. Even after he was married, he was very poor. And he sat Yomon Velayla, literally absorbing safer after safer. I believe, if I recall correctly, his library is something like 30, 35,000 sforim. This library here has maybe 7,000, 8,000 sforim. So it's about five times as big as this. And it's believed that he knew it all in his mind. He had it down. And whenever he had a tshuva, his mahalach and psak was not to disregard a single shita. And every shita found its place. He would agree, disagree, or however it was, but he incorporated almost every yediyah that was known to him. It's something we just, I would tell you to sit down with the safe and just look at how much a person could have learned and how much Torah was absorbed in one person. It's something that's overwhelming. If you want to get a measure of the person, you do a lot better with sitting down with a tshuva for a few minutes, even if you don't understand all the details of it, than reading stories about it. Rabbi Mendelowitz told me before a personal story. Rabbi Mendelowitz's father-in-law was asked to sponsor many, many years ago publishing a tshuva sefer. I think it was a Chavos Yoyah, he believes. And they worked on a new edition. And then as they were going to print, they realized the edition they were working from was missing a few pages. Two or three pages. Chavos Yoyah is not an unknown sefer. It's not a known sefer. It's a sefer. It's one of the classic tshuva sefarim. But, you know, people use it, look at it. And they were missing. And they were holding by going to print. They couldn't get the edition they wanted. And they said, you know, Rav Yosef's library is stupendous. Try him. It's very close to the people that are working on it. So they called him up. So he said, get back to me in 2 days. Two or three days later, he gave them a handwritten a copy from memory of those two or three pages. As it was, afterwards, they found another edition, and he was wrong in 8 words on those two or three pages of Chavos Yoyah, written out by memory, of a sefer that it's a sefer that's one of the classics for him, but it's not used that often. It's not something you would say, okay, it's something that he used daily. So to have it committed to memory to a degree where there were 8 words in 3 pages they had written out, and he said in 26 years he hadn't looked at the sefer. It's musagin that we really have a very, very hard time of getting it. That was his Shir Kaima in Torah. He wrote and paskin on every chelik of Torah, and his psakim became a mainstay for Sephardic communities and a point of reference for anybody writing a tshuva on it. Someone told me that Diane Weiss was the head of the Chedis, politically was not in the same place, but Torah doesn't get involved with politics and so on. And he would always have a tshuva safe of his laying around, whatever, it was a point of reference. You could not write your own tshuva without going through that tshuva, and Torah is big, you can argue, and maybe you're obligated when you are Sukkah Shmaisi V'dilchasa, but it was a sefer that you could not ignore his stand and his psak. Something happened in his early 20s where I think was an extreme change from living a very sheltered life in Olo Shel Torah. He became the Rav of Egypt, Cairo. He was a younger man, I think it was in his early 20s, and he was there 2 or 3 years. I think he became first aware of the tragedy and the reality of Sephardi communities outside of Eretz Yisrael, and eventually that was also Eretz Yisrael. These were communities that had been established for many centuries. They were good people, well-meaning people, by and large big Amaratzim, and already had backed away from real Shmiras Mitzvahs, and he had difficult years of trying to hold them into some framework of halacha, and they were very difficult years because people resisted it. There was nobody to talk to, and they had a lot of issues. And the need to be able to hold on to a tzibur, even though they were far away, and not to let them go completely, was something that he began struggling and wrestling with. Someone told me over, Moshe Chaim Blei told me over, a tshuva that he had seen that made a tremendous impression on him. I'll tell you the gist of it. In Cairo, they had a hospital, a Jewish hospital that was treif. And they finally agreed to go kosher, with the stipulation that they don't have to throw out the dishes. And he has a long tshuva on it, and he goes through many different ofanim. They were dishes that were made of china, so they couldn't be kosher halachically. And he tried one approach, another approach, another approach, and he rejected it all. He said, I can't. This is not right, this is not right, this is not right. He slugged up every possible kula. And then he writes, but I couldn't sleep all night. So I am pushing this hospital to become permanently treif. But that's a tremendous achrayus. You can't, you know, you're torn, you can't bend the halacha, what's asa zasa, but you also, if you don't find a way to be mad to something halachically sometimes, you're going to lose a whole tzibur. And he came up with a whole new mahalach of how to do it in a way that would be acceptable to the Eved, and it was a result of that tremendous achrayus that he knew that he has to hold on to the tzibur and so on. He came back to Israel after a few years. He was a rabbi in Tel Aviv. He was a dayan in the Bezna Gadol together with Rabbi Yashiv, and he began to realize the straits of Sephardi Jewry. Sephardi Jewry, on the one hand, as far as they went, they still wanted to be observant. They still had a certain haracha and a certain kavod. But much Amaratzis had crept in. The Ashkenazi Jewry had suffered one way through Haskalah. They had suffered through years of neglect and backwardness in the Arab countries. And there were few Torah centers. And the Hamon Am, as much as they would like to do well, and as much as they had tremendous kavod upon him, there was a lot of issues. And in two ways, he addressed those issues. One was he realized that he needs to be able to makel where halacha allows. There's an inyan to be machmir when you're bal nefesh, when you know what's right and wrong, and you give yourself the space between the barely permissible to big safety margin. And then there's an important inyan to hold on to somebody so that you don't make into a machal Shabbos when the Eved, what he's doing, is just acceptable. One step over the line is also Shema Shabbos. And he began to, and his psakim reflected. On the one hand, for the Hamon Am, he was very strong about not being machmir in places that halachically you do not have to be machmir, and for the unlearned, barely observant person, it would drive him away. On the other hand, he began rebuilding Sephardi Jewry and Mekomos HaTorah. One of the other tragedies that happened in Eretz Yisrael was because the Sephardim came en masse in a way that they were brought by the very secular Zionists, they became, their communities disintegrated, they hadn't built up their own Moses HaTorah, and the people that reached out and became their Rabbanim and Mashpi and Poskim were Ashkenazim. They had very little feel for the Mesoiris, for the Psakim, and basically by default, the Ashkenazi Psak and Rabbanim became their minhagim. It was something that shouldn't be. Every shevet, every olam has its inyanim, its mesoiris, its hanhagis, its psakim, its poiskim. by default it happened, and also it created a resistance by the Sfari Hamonam when they felt this wasn't their homeland. This wasn't where we're coming from. His force of personality, he was charismatic. The fact that he could stand on a bima and pour out Mar Mekomos one after the other and Chuvis verbatim, never ever needing notes or Sfarim, whatever, brought a tremendous cover to Torah. People saw what godless Torah is. Even for the person who didn't understand a word, but just hearing it, that shefa of Torah and yediyas haTorah and the tremendous amount of asmarit went into that, created a tremendous sense of pride. In the early 80s, he was involved in finding the Shas party. The politics is not the significant part of it. It's the fact that for the first time, a chelik of Klal Yisrael, there might be the bigger chelik, I don't know the numbers, so the jury might well be more numerous, came into their own. They sensed this is the derech that we had been on. This is what we produced. It brought a tremendous intense pride, a tremendous rejuvenation of Shmiras HaTorah and Shmiras HaMitzvahs, a whole cadre, a whole dor of Talmidei Chachamim that weren't former Sfaradim who had to become Ashkenazim because that's where the yeshivas were, that's where everything was, but to rebuild the Mesiris and the Teferis of Sfaradi Jewry. He also fought against many minhagim shtus that had crept in just by unlearned people who just picked up stuff that from Goyim, whatever it is. He was very, very blunt, very straight. He said the emissary sword with a sharpness and with pride. One would possibly say that everything today, the tremendous teferis of the rebuilding Sephardi Yiddishkeit, with all the tremendous amount of Mechachamim and Moistis and incredible vibrancy in Shmiras HaMitzvahs, is possibly due almost all to him. And just it's just the appreciation. The Gemara says that Mei Mechuza, the Goyim in Mechuza, must be very, very tough-hearted, because twice a year they would see the gathering of Klal Yisrael to hear the Shurim from the Gdolim, and they still weren't Megaya. It's the Kvod Shel Torah, one of the giant Kvod Shel Torah's generation was Rebbe Avadia Zichrono Livracha. A person who had, you saw the chef of Torah, that in every single point there are so many different shitas and mahalchim, and to keep it all organized and one person without looking at this firm, it's an overwhelming sense of Kvod Shel Torah, and it's a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that a person has a mind like that, but it's a yigia and amul to sit and learn it. And Kufis that were very, very hard. The last chelik of his life, he lived with the Ferris. I mean, people carried him on their shoulders. But as a younger man, when he sat and learned, he was dirt poor, tremendous mysterious nefesh, and sat and learned it. His sense of achrayas for the klal, to be able to broaden the heter as much as possible, to keep people in the klal, and yet to rebuild Bnei Torah, who would keep things al tzara yosef toiv, to reignite the Mesiris of at least half of Klal Yisrael, a Mesiris that was as mefur as anything, to give it back its lustre, to give it its place. This is the very, very Rashi Prakim of his life. I suggest as a people to read about him, and I suggest when you have the time, take one of those Sfarim, take a tshuva on an inyan that you think you know, something simple, and get a sense of how much Torah there is on Kol Kutzo Shel Yud and Tilitilim Shel Halachos, and it, you know, at least if we have a sense of a Kvod Shel Torah, we'll have some sense of holding on to what was so dear to him. Yizichoy.
lunch then.